modern day descendants of Esau. Let's all stand. I'll read Genesis 27, 29 to you. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. You may be seated. This is the verse that Ted Cruz should have used, but he did know about it. Before we begin today's sermon, I want to make a correction of something that I said in my last sermon. In my previous lesson, I mentioned that this will be a two-part series, but this will now be expanded to be a three-part series. And maybe next one, I'll maybe go to four parts. For the topic is of extreme importance in today's world. Our nation is in the midst of deciding which side they are on when the question is raised about whether our nation should give unconditional aid or any support to the Jewish, that's anti-Christian, country of Israel. And to make it even more exciting, this week we had the preliminary trial of Tyler Robinson, the alleged murderer of Charlie Kirk, when the prosecution has failed to prove that he was guilty in both my and many internet host opinions. The Christian Zionist Church Cornerstone in San Antonio, Texas, pastored by John Hagee, who sponsors the Christians United for Israel organization, has called anyone who criticizes the Jewish people or its nation demonic. CUFI reported that Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens are telling lies and hate. And Benjamin Shapiro, who is a Talmudic Jew, is telling the truth. May this series help you decide which side is right. And there is something that needs to be repeated from part one. Jacob and Esau were not just brothers, they were fraternal twins. You can't get much closer than that unless you are identical twins. How many twins do you know that have perpetual intense hatred towards each other than what Esau and Jacob and their descendants have had? It has lasted for 4,000 years. Besides Cain and Abel, which has lasted for 6,000 years. Is there a connection between these two sets of twins? There is. But only one twin seed would inherit Abraham's covenant blessing. Which one would inherit? Which one would come in second place? And why would the one that came in the runner-up position not accept his place? To not know who they are in today's world would be disastrous to any reader of the Bible. It is of utmost importance, if we are going to understand what is happening in today's world, the battle between Judaism and Christianity. Since they were twins, a minority of the descendants of Esau would look, depending on who their ancestors interracially married with, remarkably close to Jacob's descendants who remain pure in their genealogy. Tares and wheat look very much the same in rare cases. A small number of Esau's descendants can be mistaken for some of Jacob's descendants if you only went on how they looked. I'll give a few examples. Paul Newman, Cary Grant, Walter Matthau, Carrie Fisher, Lauren Bacall, Kate Hudson, River Phoenix, Gwyneth Paltrow, Sally Field, Tony Curtis, Michael J. Fox, Woody Harrelson, Ricky Lake, Harrison Ford, etc. Others leave no doubt as to whose descendants they are, like Sammy Davis Jr., Rodney Dangerfield, Lenny Kravitz, George Burns, Sarah Silverman, Jerry Lewis, Peter Sellers, Don Rickles, Edward Ashner, Mark Zuckerberg, Larry King, Joan Rivers, Zac Efron, Fred Savage, Woody Allen, Michael Landon, Neil Diamond. Who says the Jews are 2% of the population? This is entertainers, jeez. Barbra Streisand, Henry Winkler, Goldie Hawn, Jerry Seinfeld, Howard Stern, Jason Alexander, Jeffrey Epstein, Saul Alinsky, Henry Kissinger, Peter Falk, Barbara Walters, Ruth Ginsburg, Alan Dershowitz, Sylvester Stallone, Billy Joel, Katie Couric, Molly Ringwald, Jake Tapper, Tina Fey, Nora Weil, Samuel Untermeyer, and so forth and so on. That is why it says, let them grow until the time of the harvest. And then I, the Lord God, will separate the tares and have them cast into, where? Hell. And this brings us to one of the great questions of all. Who are the tares and who are the wheat? Are they descendants of the aforementioned twins? Most theologians say that the seed of Jacob Israel is the Jews of today. A small number of black theologians allege that is the black Hebrews. And an excruciating number of Caucasian theologians declare it is their own race. But Israel was to become a multitude of nations, not just one country formed in 1948. The house of Israel was to have descendants of King David rule them, not various prime ministers. Israel was made up of 13 tribes, not three tribes. And Jacob's descendants were to have a pure seed line, not like Esau's seed, which was mixed. Esau, from the beginning, interracially married with the Canaanites, and all his children became mixed seed. And when his seed eventually became Jews, there were no Jews that were pure-blooded. For all Jews are of mixed seed from their beginning. There are many various kinds of Jews in today's world. Sephardic, Ashkenazi, Hasidic, Mizra, Ethiopian, Yemenite, Shilaite, Latino, African-American, Asian, etc., etc. And here's a chart that proves it. Look at that. Now, there's no black hands there, but it says African-American Jews. That's black. Brown. Asian Jews, Latino Jews, Sephardic, Mizra, Jewish converts, Ethiopian Jews. Jews are a culturally and ethnically diverse minority. The Edomite seed line is 100% mixed seed. As we can see from the chart, there are black, brown, Asian, Arab, and Latino Jews, as well as Jews from the tribe of Japheth rather than Shem. Here's my question. How can the Jews be Israelites when they have married every kind of different race who is present on the earth? Israel was commanded by their Lord God to not marry anyone who was not of their kind. Israel was to be a pure race. If every descendant of Jacob interracially married, as Esau did, there would be no Israel. Oh, that's why the communists want us to racially marry. That is why God commanded them not to marry any Canaanites who were living where they lived. Deuteronomy 7:3, neither shalt thou, that's Israel, make marriages with them. That's the Hittites, the Gershites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. That's from verse 1. That's the people that were living among them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his Canaanite son, nor his Canaanite daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. The Edomites have their own holy books, the two Talmuds, the Babylonian in Jerusalem, and the Kabbalah. Has anyone attempted to buy a copy of the Talmud or borrow one from the library? Has anyone ever attended or seen on television a Jewish religious service in a synagogue? The Old and New Testament scriptures are full of references to three main characters of the Bible. Who do the interpreters of the Bible call the descendants of the kingdom of Judah? Who do the interpreters of the Bible call the descendants of the kingdom of Israel? And who do the interpreters of the Bible call the descendants of Edom, who came into Judea a century and a half before the birth of Israel's Savior? The words Jew, Jews, Israel, Israelites, Gentile, ten tribes, Greeks, Edomites, Idumean, Judah, Judahite, circumcised, uncircumcised, house of Israel, house of Judah, and Judean are all used in a way that is many times misleading and confusing to the reader. Artificial intelligence teaches what? First, let's look at what AI says when we ask the computer this question. So I typed in, who are the modern-day descendants of Esau? What do you think AI answered? Well, I will tell you what they answered. Esau's descendants, known as the Edomites, originated in the region of Mount Seir, southeast of the Dead Sea in modern-day Jordan. Over centuries, they migrated and assimilated, with historic accounts indicating they were absorbed into Jewish, Arab, and potentially European populations, often linking them to the Roman Empire, and now they are mixed with other Semitic peoples. During the Hasmonean period in the 2nd century BC, the Edomite people were conquered and forced to convert to the ways of the Israelites. They subsequently intermingled with the Israelites. Boy, that's a mess. The big problem is with the word Jew. In the Bible, it should be Judean. For example, the King of the Jews should have been translated by the interpreters as the King of the Judeans. The problem for the reader is that after the 2nd century BC, there were two different nations living in Judea. There were some marriages between the two groups to complicate matters even more. An important date is 70 AD, when the Second Temple was destroyed, along with the city of Jerusalem, by the Roman army. All the residents were either killed, made slaves, or went into the Great Dispersion. There were no pure-blooded Israelites in that destruction, as they had all escaped. There were no pure-blooded Israelites there. The only ones left were Jews, meaning Edomite Judeans. And the name has stuck with them from that time forth. In the Jewish Almanac, October 1980, it says in the chapter called Identity Crisis, I'm quoting from the Jewish Almanac, strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew, or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or Hebrew. But this is what the interpreters of the Bible did on many occasions and have caused untold confusion to the readers of the Bible. The words Jew and Israel are completely different, and each one should represent two distinct people, one mixed and the other pure. Here's the copy from the Jewish Almanac of 1980. I don't know if you can see it up here. Identity crisis, you can see that. A brief history of the term for Jews. It is incorrect to call a ancient Israelite a Jew, or to call or contemporary Jude an Israelite or a Hebrew. There it is. Right from the same book. Okay. I asked another question. What does AI say when asked this question? Who are the modern-day descendants of Jacob? This will be interesting. It answered, the descendants of Jacob, renamed Israel, are primarily identified today as the Jewish people worldwide, spanning various ethnic groups, so they're not pure. Historically, these descendants formed the 12 tribes of Israel. While 10 tribes were lost after ancient exile, their descendants are considered to have intermixed with other populations. The modern Jewish population is predominantly considered to be descended from the three tribes of Judah and Benjamin, along with the Levites. That's AI for you. Artificial intelligence and Christian scientists say that the modern Jewish population are descended from just three tribes of Israel, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. Why is this? Anybody got an idea? The reason they give is that the 10 tribes became lost and intermixed with other populations. But this is incorrect. The 10 tribes were not lost, and they had not mixed very much with other populations. They had remained mostly pure-blooded. They are still in existence today. But why do they say that the 10 tribes no longer exist? It's because the Edomites became a part of the kingdom of Judah, which were only three tribes. The 10 tribes had been long gone in captivity. So the Jews' only recourse was to say that they are descended from the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, if they want to claim to be Israelites. But they are Edomites and not Israelites. They are liars and are attempting to deceive the entire world. If you believe that the mixed seed Edomites are the covenant people, they are succeeding in their lie. Well, that was AI. What do modern-day descendants of Esau, who are the modern-day descendants of Esau, according to Jewish literature? So I typed that in. Here's what I got. According to Jewish tradition, Esau's descendants are identified symbolically and historically with Rome. And consequently, Western civilization. Wow, that surprised me. In Talmudic and rabbinic literature, Edom is the code word for the Roman Empire, which later expanded to represent Christianity and Europe. The primary association is that Esau's descendants, the Edomites, built the Roman Empire, which developed into Western Europe, because Christianity became the religion of Rome, Rabbinic literature often refers to Christians, particularly in Europe, as descendants of Esau or Edom. Historically, the Edomites moved into southern Judah and were converted in the 2nd century BC, becoming indistinguishable from the people who were living there. Over time, particularly after the destruction of the Second Temple, that's 70 AD, Edomites lost their distinct identity and largely assimilated into other populations, primarily in the Middle East and the West. How about that one? You believe what the Jewish literature teaches? Jewish literature tradition says that the descendants of Esau are the Roman Empire, which later expanded to represent Christianity and Europe. But did you catch that Jewish literature says that the Edomites moved into southern Judah and were indistinguishable from the people who were living there? The Edomites became indistinguishable from the Israelites, which means you can't tell which one is which. Then the Jews say that the Edomites, after 70 AD, lost their identity. So how are they the Roman Empire? Get this. In the JewishTorah.com website, it says the following about the descendants of Esau. As Jacob and Esau grow up, their competition continues. Esau is a hunter, while Jacob is a tent dweller, and one when Esau returns from a hunt, Jacob convinces his exhausted brother to sell him his birthright for a pot of stew. In a later story, Jacob overtakes his older twin when he tricks their elderly blind father, Isaac, into blessing him with Esau's blessing. Esau is furious at his brother's trick, and Jacob runs away to escape Esau's wrath. When Jacob returns 20 years later, the brothers reconcile. In the end, the brothers go to their separate ways, with Jacob staying in Canaan and Esau moving to Mount Seir. And here's the map. There's Jacob, and there's where Edom lived, right over here. That is correct. Now get the next part. This next part will blow your mind. Thus, when Antoninus says to Rabbi Yehuda HaHissi that he is afraid he will never be allowed into the world to come because the prophet Obadiah has declared that no descendant of Esau will remain, the rabbis are saying that Christians will not be allowed into the world to come, though some righteous Romans who are good to the Jews can be saved. We are doomed. Similarly, when Genesis Rabbi quotes the verse that says God hates Esau, immediately following the midrash that the prophecy about Esau refers to Emperor Hadrian, the rabbinic authors are polemicizing against Paul's use of the same verse in Romans. God hates Esau means that God hates Romans. And by extension, the rabbis are saying this verse means that God hates Christians. Again, even though Hadrian lived before Rome became Christian and was not himself a Christian, Jewish readers of Genesis Rabbi know what Rome symbolizes. My comment about this verse, does any Christian besides Christian Zionists think that this is the correct interpretation of these verses? The Antichrist Jews are giving their interpretation of the Bible, which they do not believe. The Jews say that modern-day descendants of Esau are the Romans, Europeans, and Christians, I added, which would include the Christian Zionists. Isn't that interesting? And that God hates them, the Romans, Europeans, and Christians, and they will not be in the coming kingdom. The Jews teach that all Christians, including Christian Zionist pastors, will all be in hell with their Savior. Are the United States supposed to support and give aid to these antichrists and to their country who believe this? Senator Ted Cruz and the American ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, told Tucker Carlson that this was the only way America could ever receive a blessing by God, as if they blessed Israel, meaning if they blessed the Jews. They misinterpret this scripture, along with every Christian Zionist preacher, Genesis 12:3. And I will bless them that bless thee. Thee is singular, referring to Abram, not the Jews, who don't even exist at this time. And curse them that curses thee. Thee is singular, referring to Abram, not the Jews. And in thee, this is singular, referring to Abram, not to Jews, shall all families of the earth be blessed. So I took out my Scofield Bible. I looked at what they had for Genesis 12:3. And their third footnote, it says, there was a promise of blessing upon those individuals and nation who bless Abram's descendants, and a curse laid upon those who persecute the Jews. Where in these verses does it say anything about Abram's descendants, and where does it say anything about the Jews? You will not find it in Genesis 12:3. Well, who are the modern day descendants of Esau according to other peoples? So I looked up the Muslims. Islamic literature says that modern day descendants of Esau are often associated with the Roman Empire and, by extension, Western or European populations. That's out of mind. I looked up Messianic Jewish literature. It's the belief that modern-day Turks, Syrians, and Kurdish people of Iraq are descendants of Esau. In the Bible, it states that the Apostle Paul identified his followers with Jacob and his opponents identified with Esau. In the epistle to Barnabas, Barnabas states that Jesus' followers are descendants of Jacob, whereas the Jews are descendants of Esau. Tertullian, one of the church fathers, 155 to 240 AD, stated that the Jews are descendants of Esau, while the Christians are descendants of Jacob. We get an opposite view here, aren't we? The Talmud associates the Roman Empire with Esau. Antipas' son Herod had strong ties with Roman officials. Herod's reputation as a cruel tyrant in rabbinic texts, and the rabbis associated the tragedy of the Roman takeover of Judea directly with Herod. And since Rome was the great power in the region throughout the rabbinic period, and the Romans destroyed the temple and the polity of Judea, it was natural to apply the us-them narrative of Esau and Jacob to the us-them reality of Rome and the Jews. You pay attention to this next sentence. Part of the rabbinic identification of Rome with Esau was in response to the Christian claim that Esau was the spiritual ancestor of the Jews. And once the Roman Empire legalized Christianity in the 4th century and adopted Christianity as its official religion, Edom became a cipher not just for the political entity Rome, but for the religious entity Christianity. Wow. Different opinions, don't you think? Then, what do the Jews think of the following people? While perusing the internet, I found a remarkably interesting, informative website. It was a Jewish website entitled, Jew or Not Jew. Its purpose was to investigate and tell if the following people are a Jew or not a Jew. They divide the people into 17 categories. Actors, that's number one, actresses, artists, athlete and coaches, business people, comedians, directors, fictional characters, historical figures, media, musicians and singers, politicians, religious figures, scientists, sociopaths, writers, and categorized. Hundreds of people, I should say thousands of people, from each category are each identified as being either Jew or not Jew. You want to look up and see what they say? Look up your... It'll take you probably a couple years to go through all that. I was interested in the category of religious figures. So that's what I did. I looked up religious figures. Who do these Jewish writers of the website think is a Jew or not a Jew in this section? They approach their topic with sarcasm and their own brand of humor, which Christians should consider is pure blasphemy. So I started off, Jesus Christ. And they give the date of when he lived, between 8 and 2 BC and 23 to 26 AD. Here's what they say. Can all the goyim please leave the room? That's all the non-Jews. Yes, that means Jew. Put down that ham sandwich and step away from the computer. We'll let you know when it's safe to return. Are they all gone? Good. So what can be said about Jesus Christ that hasn't been said before? And how can we say it without offending a large portion of the population? For we're sure, even though we asked them to step away, a small percentage of our small percentage of non-Jewish readers is not listening to our pleas and is still reading the profile. Well, I still read the profile. Let's see. Jesus Christ, the original Goy? The original non-Jew? Let's see. It's pretty difficult. Maybe we should just write this profile straightforwardly and do an analysis of Jesus' Jewish and non-Jewish aspects, his life and his death. Nothing after that death. Just checking if you're reading Goyim and the consequences of his existence on the Jewish people, not good to say the least. You know, if he even existed in the first place, seriously, Goyim, why are you reading this? But this has been done before by smarter men than us, time and time again. So what are we to do? Jesus Christ, the original Goy, seriously, what more needs to be said? It's safe to come back to your computer now. The ham sandwich is getting stale. The verdict, sadly, a Jew. Is that blasphemous or what? They call the Son of God the original Goy, and then they tell the Goyim, who they say are eating a ham sandwich, which is against God's law, to leave the website for a while. How can one person be both a Goy, a non-Jew, and a Jew at the same time? They implied that nothing happened after Jesus' death. Oh, there was no resurrection. There was no meeting with his closest friends until his ascension into heaven. In other words, he was just a man, if he even existed. They deny that Jesus Christ was God and their Messiah, and the Talmud says that he is now in hell. All his followers will follow him into the same place, that is, condemned to hell. But there is a person that the Jews hate more than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Know who he is? Well, I'll ask a question. Who do you think the Jews hate more than Jesus Christ? Paul? Anybody else? Hitler?
Me?
Well, you'll find out. I will show you a little bit later. Next, we will look at St. Peter, one of Jesus' most important apostles. So here's what they say about St. Peter. and they give the years he lived. Sometimes we wish the Christians were right. Sometimes we wish there was heaven. Heaven with its harps and soft white clouds. Heaven where we could chat with Kurt Vonnegut and watch Vincent van Gogh paint or listen to Louis Armstrong play his trumpet. Heaven instead of the nothingness we are destined to. And if the Christians are right and there is heaven, we hope St. Peter lets us in. We've tried to live an honorable life, so we bet on the wrong horse. How could we know at the time? And if St. Peter gives us beef and closes the gates, we'll point out that he also was a Jew, that he had been wrong at least three times in his life, probably a bit more if he gave it some thought. We'd point out that a good Christian is supposed to love his fellow man, and what good Christian would deny that fellow man a chance to go to heaven? However, we doubt that the Christians are right. The verdict, St. Peter was barely a Jew. The phrase, sometimes we wish the Christians are right, means they think they were never right. Most Jews do not believe in an afterlife. They believe this life is all they have, and when they die, they are dead forever. There is no life here on the earth, and there is no heaven. They don't believe that there was a war in heaven either. They say that St. Peter was a Jew and that he was wrong a multitude of times. The first pope was a Jew, was fallible, and he was also married. Do the Catholics believe this? Peter and the apostles did not live where the Jews made their headquarters, which was in the city of Jerusalem. They lived in Galilee, where the majority of pure-blooded Israelites lived in Palestine during this time. I gave a scripture, John 7:1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, which was Judea, because the Jews, that's the Edomite Judeans, sought to kill him. Galilee was to the north of Judea. Samaria was in the middle and was occupied by non-Israelite foreigners with a few Israelites. And Jerusalem, or Judea, was to the south. This is where the majority of Edomites lived. There were a few pure-blooded Judahites living there when Jesus was born. So I got a little map. There's Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Jesus lived up here. This is Edomites' headquarters. And these were the people brought back when the house of Israel was taken captive. They brought back other people. Here's where Jesus lived. There's the Edomites lived. When Jesus came back to Judea from Egypt, where he and his parents had gone, after being warned by an angel of his attempted assassination by Herod, the Edomite, they did not settle in Judea, but Galilee. This is where he lived most of his life and where he gathered 11 out of his 12 apostles. The Jewish writers of this website say that nothingness is what they are destined to receive at the end of their life. When they die, there are no rewards or punishments, no heaven or hell. But do all Jews believe this? In Judaism, beliefs surrounding the afterlife are varied, reflecting a rich tapestry of tradition, scripture, and theological discourse. The Jewish understanding of what happens after death is complex and often leaves room for multiple interpretations. Unlike many other religions that provide a definite image of heaven, Judaism tends to emphasize the importance of righteous living in this world as the basis of what may come after. But the Bible gives all the Jews' destination as hell. And there isn't a Christian who'll say that, but a few people. The Talmud says the exact opposite. All followers of Jesus Christ are destined to hell. And nobody believes that either. Or we support the enemy of God and ourselves. The verdict was that Peter was a Jew. Now we'll look at Barnabas. And here's from the Jew or not Jew. Here's what they say. You see, Barnabas, who was born a Jew on Cyprus, was an early Christian zealot. He and St. Paul walked around converting the heathens. Makings of a buddy road trip comedy right there. Paul loses the luggage on Majorca. Barnabas gets seduced by a gaggle of nuns. Hilarity ensues. Being a Christian saint, this means special relics. This skull is located in Conca di Marini, a lovely seaside town in Italy. Come for the beach, stay for the Christian artifacts. Now, most of these relics are fakes, so it's highly unlikely that the skull is Barnabas's. That being said, as disgusting as it is, it's no match for the holy prepuce, which is Jesus, suppose, whatever. You know, look that one up on your own time. We're creeped out enough by the skull. Verdict, barely a Jew. They say that Barnabas was born a Jew on Cyprus, but the Bible says that he was a Levite of the country of Cyprus. He was the Apostle Paul's companion on their first missionary journey in Turkey. He was an Israelite, not a Jew. They make the remark that he and the Apostle Paul walked around converting the heathens. They converted many of their own people who had been divorced and who were the people who God said he would go to. The Gentiles are the 10 tribes of Israel. They also preached to the people of the kingdom of Judea, as well as some of the Canaanite, Edomite Jews. What did this latter group do to them for preaching about Jesus Christ? They followed them everywhere they preached, trying and many times succeeding in putting them in jail and even killing them. Are we to support these people? And what do you say about the Apostle Paul? It may surprise many of our Christian readers. St. Paul. Hey, Goyim. We're going to let you on a little secret. We don't hate Jesus Christ as much as you think we do. It's not like the two millennia of Christian-led anti-Semitism are his fault. He lived, he tried, he died. It's his followers who are F blank 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 ED things up. You know who we really hate? One of those followers, Saul of Tarsus, known as you as St. Paul, the world's first anti-Semite. And what did Paul do? Well, he basically started anti-Semitism as we know it today, the organized hatred of Judaism as a religion and Jews as a people. Well, that famed philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, definitely not a Jew, speak. Paul was the genius in hatred, and the standpoint of hatred and the religious logic of hatred. But here's the thing. Paul wasn't just the world's first anti-Semite. He also might have been the world's first Jew for Jesus. For not only was he born a Jew, some scholars believe that he never left the religion, but just changed sex. Makes sense. Because at the time, Christianity was just a set of Judaism. That being said, we really can't relent on the hate. The world's first anti-Semite, the world's first Jew for Jesus, get this next part, the world's first self-loathing Jew, it's rather irrelevant, rot in hell, St. Paul. Yes, you heard us right, Goyim. Rot in hell, St. Paul. Rot in hell. Verdict, St. Paul's barely a Jew. Well, here's where Paul bashing began. Many modern day Christians, even in Christian identity, wrongfully agree with the Jews in hitting the Apostle Paul, who's only the writer of most of the New Testament. The Jews really hate the Apostle Paul more than they hate Jesus. They tell this apostle to the 10 tribes, which they say does not exist, to rot in hell. But that is where they say that all the followers of Jesus will go anyway. But they are telling one of their own, for they say that he was a Jew, to rot in hell. I thought all Israelites would be saved. I guess that would prove the Jews are not Israelites. The man who used to be a Pharisee was converted by God and became the missionary mainly to the formerly, for close to seven centuries, divorced house of Israel, the ten tribes. He also preached to the house of Judah. The Jews attempted to murder him several times on his missionary journeys. Their definition of anti-Semitism is given in the short article. They say that it means to organize hatred of Judaism as a religion and Jews as a people. How could the Apostle Paul say that anti-Semitism was the organized hatred of Judaism when Judaism didn't even begin until after 70 AD? For it was after the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD by the Romans that the Edomite Jews transitioned into Rabbinic Judaism, which was the foundation for modern Jewish practice. The Jews detest the writer of most of the books of the New Testament more than they hate Jesus Christ. Now, what does that tell you? Oh, look at the next one. Sabatini Zibi. How y'all doing, Goyim? What have you been up to? Sitting around twiddling your thumbs, waiting for the Messiah to come? Thought so. Might as well put on a pot of coffee. It's going to be a while. Let us tell you, Goyim, the story of Sabbati Zibi. Not exactly a household word name like your Jesus, but perhaps he should be. You, Goyim, are waiting for your second Messiah. We're still on our first. In the 17th century, a bunch of us thought we found one. Yes, his name was Sabbatai Zibi. You're quicker than we thought, Goyim. As a young man in Smyra, Sabbatine did not want to study Jewish law. Instead, he was drawn to Kabbalah. One of the Kabbalah's numerous numerical calculations claimed that 1648 was the year that the Jewish Messiah would come. So when the year hit, Sabbatini thought, why not me? This is a Jew writing this now. So he got himself some followers and started preaching. Sound familiar, Goyim? The rabbis in Smyra would have none of that and kicked him out. So he spent a few years wandering around the Mediterranean, eventually making his way to Jerusalem. His popularity grew and spread itself to Europe. Even some rabbis jumped on board. It was many rabbis jumped on board. Many Jews decided to make the pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And the year 1666 came. You, Goyim, had always seen it as apocryphic and meant, as so many thought, that yes, it will finally happen. So Sabbatai made his way to Constantinople, where he was expected to be crowned king of all, Jew and Goy. Except when he got there, the Sultan arrested him. But that only empowered Sabbatai's followers. Get what the synagogues were ascribed with. Bless our Lord and King, the holy and righteous Sabbatai Zibi, the Messiah of the God of Jacob. His messiahship was at fever pitch. And then Sabbatai converted to Islam. Yep. There's more to the story, exile, mysterious death, to many, many disillusioned followers. They would have been better served twiddling their thumbs. Their verdict, borderline Jew. The Jews believed that Sabbatai was their Messiah, not Jesus Christ. It didn't work out too well for them. And very few Christians today even know of the false Jewish messiahship of Sabbatai Zibi. Took me about over 80 years to find that out. The expectation of the arrival of the Messiah had been building for some time. Based on a passage from the Zohar, Many Kabbalists originally calculated 1648 would be the Masonic year. When 1648 passed without redemption, the intense longing was simply deferred to 1666. This was the designated year for a worldwide redemption. Excited followers across Europe and the Middle East sold their belongings in anticipation of returning to the Holy Land. What about the Christians? The year was 1666. Notice the last three numbers. 666. What else happened in 1666 in England? There was the Great Fire of London, which destroyed only 80% of the city. Compounded by the ongoing Great Plague and the Second Anglo-Dutch War, the year was seen as apocalyptic time of omens. King Charles II was the King of England, who had been exiled for 14 years when the monarchy was exchanged for parliamentary rule and the dictatorship. It was one of the many times that Christians have thought wrongly that Jesus would return on a certain year. And it was pivotal as it brought the Jews back into England after almost 400 years of exile. And finally, what do they say about Jacob's elder twin Esau? Was he a Jew or non-Jew? Esau. Bubbles and Zetas, the moment you've been waiting for is here. WJEW, Jew or not Jew, a Jew radio. WJEW is brought to you by Rocks. You can cut with them, cook with them, do just about whatever you need to do with them. Rocks, they're just not for breakfast anymore. Tonight, we'll talk to one of the most controversial and hairy figures throughout the Torah. Yes, it's Esau. Esau, welcome to the program. It's an honor. Esau says, actually, I'm kind of in a rush. You see, I'm supposed to be getting my birthright from my father, Isaac, this afternoon, and I don't want to be late. Can we do this after? Oh, well, this will only take a moment. You come so far just to talk to you. Esau says, it's just that I've been waiting for this for a long time, that birthright. I mean, the sheep alone are probably worth a couple of million shekels. Plus, my dad said, once I have the birthright, I can marry my cousin Leah, and woo, let me tell you, that woman is a fox. What is 5 minutes really going to do, seriously? Esau says, yeah, okay, I guess it couldn't hurt. That's the spirit. So Esau, the moment of truth, are you Jewish? Esau says, huh? What is Jewish? You know, Jews, Israelites, the Hebrews, the children of Abraham. Esau says, oh yeah, Abraham is my grandfather. What does that have to do with, oh, no, look, I better get going. Just one more moment. We have a question about back hair. Huh? He's gone. That was rude. Seriously, what difference is 5 minutes going to make? No. Oh, well. For more of the Who in Hebrew, join us next time on WJEW. His verdict, Esau was a Jew. This satire leaves out a lot of history. While they were still in their mother's womb, it was prophesied that Esau would serve Jacob. When Esau was 15 years old, he sold his birthright to Jacob. Over the years, Esau married a couple of Canaanite women. The twins' parents fretted over the fact that Esau married the forbidden people. Their parents sent Jacob to marry a person who was the same race as himself. The website doesn't mention any of this. The group also makes a profoundly serious mistake. They make the words Jews, Israelites, Hebrews, and the children of Abraham all mean the same thing. They are not interchangeable. But they are not. Don't learn your Bible from your enemy. They are lacking the Holy Spirit, so they are unable to see the truth of the Bible. The Jewish website makes a very outlandish statement about Abraham and his immediate descendants. The Jews on this website say that Abraham, Isaac, Esau, Jacob, Sarah, Rebekah, Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, and Zilpah were all Jews. And the website considers the wife of Abraham after the death of Sarah, Keturah, who gave him 6 sons, to be not Jewish. While not a child of Keturah himself, the prophet Moses married Zipporah, who was the daughter of Jethro, a priest of Midian. Because Zipporah's lineage traces back to Keturah's son Midian, this means Moses married a descendant of Keturah. His son's family served in the tabernacles, treasures of the tabernacle and temple. But how could they have been if they were not true Israelites? Nevertheless, if Abraham, Isaac, Esau, Jacob, Sarah, Rebekah, Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, and Zipporah are all Jewish, the Bible does not agree. The Bible says they were not Jews, for there were no Jews alive at the time they were living. They could have said they were the ancestors of the people who later became Jews, but that would be wrong also, for Jews are mixed-blooded. Israelites are pure-blooded. Judaism didn't begin when they were the Jewish, until they were Jewish holy books. And how can Esau and Jacob both be Jews if they're to be two diverse nations? Esau miscegenated, Jacob did not. No one's identified as being a Jew in the Bible in the 2 Kings 16:6, which tells of the war between the kings of Judah and the kings of Syria. It is a mistranslation. Now my conclusion. Look at what happened a couple of months ago. Karee Prejean Buller was removed from President Trump's Religious Liberty Commission following a contentious hearing on anti-Semitism at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Commission Chair, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, states she was ousted for attempting to hijack the hearing to promote a personal political agenda. A lawsuit has been filed challenging the makeup of the commission. The lawsuit was filed by the Progressive Interfaith Alliance, as well as Muslim, Hindu, and Sikh organizations. It argued that the 1972 Federal Advisory Committee Act requires that any adversary committees be fairly balanced among competing viewpoints. But the lawsuit says that the commissions consist of almost exclusive Zionists, Judeo-Christians, with one Orthodox Jewish rabbi led by Paula White, Trump's so-called pastor. During the hearing, Buller, who wore a Palestinian flag pin, initiated tense exchanges with Jewish witnesses, rejected Zionism, and repeatedly asked whether criticism of Israel or opposition to the state should be classified as anti-Semitism. Following these clashes, Patrick and the Trump administration removed her from the commission. Buller defended her stance, releasing an open letter in arguing that her position was rooted in Catholic conscience and teaching, stating she will never bend the knee to the state of Israel. Is this getting interested or what? Who are the modern-day descendants of Esau? The theologians of the world say it is the Romans, Europeans, Christians, Turks, or they no longer exist. The Apostle Paul, Barnabas, and Tertullian say the descendants of Esau are the Jews. Which one is correct? You have to make the choice. To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.